Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the BravoFly Roomba Group Newswire conference call. I'm Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Fabio Cannavale, Chairman of BravoFly Roomba Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. Fabio Cannavale speaking. I'm here with our CEO, Francesco Signoretti, and our CFO, Gaspar Santoja, to present our business update and answer to your questions. We had a first semester with a strong growth in our volume of sales, despite the more competitive market environment. We grew about 22% and more concentrated our growth in the two countries. And we succeed in maintaining this growth with a slight reduction in our margin. That is reflected by our revenues that grow by 21%, including just a cost acquisition. So we have a strong growth in volume that is 100% organic, because for the business model of JetCost we don't do transaction for this kind of business, and you grew in revenue internally half of our growth, and with the, thanks to the JetCo acquisition, the other half of the growth. We had less attractive, let's say, result in our EBITDA, where we grew mainly due to the JetCost acquisition. So the very competitive market environment was reflected by our the EBITDA result. We are planning and doing a lot of actions to recover profitability and sustain our growth for the future. Our business is a technological business where it's key to be always updated and have the best technology, the best site for our final customers. So we are having some action for improve marketing and margin optimization and to sustain and improve the performance of our core business. And on the other hand, we will have a lot of growth opportunities that are driven by the mobile that is increasing month by month, the opportunities in the internationalization, the vacation business, and, of course, the meta-search business with JetCost. Francesco will explain very clearly all about our action plan. In the end, we have a very strong financial position, quite unique in our environment, in our competitive environment. We have a strong free cash flow. We generated 17.1 million in this first half of the year, despite extraordinary cost of almost 4 million for the IPO. And altogether, we have a net position, financial position of over 105 million euros. And this position gives us a very strong opportunity for acquisition. We are at the moment evaluating, we have a strong team for the acquisition, where we're evaluating a lot of opportunities. And we think that in this space, we can also boost our growth through the acquisition. I give the word to Francesco that will illustrate better the results of this first semester.
Good afternoon to everybody. Let's go through the presentation on page 5. Let's go quickly. We already talked about our growth, internal growth in terms of volumes. So the number of bookings increased by 16%, more than 60%, and in gross travel value even more, 22.5%, due to an average increase of the average ticket per booking. This is only internal growth. In terms of revenues, in page 6, such a growth was reflected in a total growth of 21.2%. That is roughly divided equally between the internal growth of the OTA business of 6.1 million and the contribution of the JetCost acquisition of about 6.5 million. Such a growth in revenues has been splitted and almost proportionally, the same growth both in the flight business and in non-flight business, where we have been experiencing a more than proportional growth in vacation packages and cruises. What is interesting, go to page seven, is looking at such a growth by markets. Clearly, in our core markets, and mainly in Italy and Spain, we have been suffering, especially in the second quarter, of a higher and tougher competition in the market. So price pressure that at the end resulted in revenues that were mainly flat in Italy and with a low decrease in Spain, where our revenues were also impacted by a decrease in pricing that we have applied in especially in the second quarter. In France, we have been growing mainly thanks to the contribution of the cost, but we had also experienced an internal growth of slightly less than 5%. Where we have been growing with a very interesting rate has been outside our core countries, where we are continuously expanding, opening new countries, and we are experiencing very strong growth that is profitable in Europe, but also in Asia-Pacific region. And they're arriving right now in the first half of 2014, where the outside, let's say, the non-core countries are accounting for 28% of our revenues. If you go to page nine, Gaspar can elaborate about the dynamic of our cost.
Hello, thank you, Francesco. Hello, everybody. It's Gaspar Santonja, the CFO of the group, speaking. On slide eight, we see the detail of our operating costs. Our operating costs can be split substantially into three categories: the marketing cost, the personal cost, and the other operating cost. You can see that the marketing cost, which in the graph is in the top part of the graph, you can see an increase in percentage of revenues from 40.8% to 42.0% in the between periods. Such an increase of 1.2% is effectively driven by the higher competitive pressure that Francesco explained to you before, and also a different mix in terms of geographies, with higher contribution from markets outside our core countries, countries in which our brand is less powerful, and therefore we need to sustain our business with higher investments in terms of marketing. I would like to highlight the fact that we in the OTA business, we did not have any negative impact from changes in Google's algorithm. There was some impact on the metasearch business, or in the JetCost business, but in the OTA business, we didn't suffer any particular impact. In terms of personal cost increased in the period by 1 million euro year on year. As a percentage of revenues, there was a decrease from 17.5% to 15.8%, so 1.7 percentage points less in terms of revenues. In the other operating costs, as you know, other operating costs are made of a series of items, from overheads to other costs. The most significant costs within that category are the credit card acquiring costs, and in the period there was a significant increase of those costs as percentage of revenues. Such an increase, again, was driven by the strong growth in our volumes, so in gross travel value, and of a different mix because we grew more in countries outside Europe where the credit card acquiring costs are significantly higher. We will see later on, we have got a series of action to cope with this cost increase. If we go to slide nine, you can see the adjusted EBITDA in the period. There was an increase from 11.2 million in last year to 12.2 million this year. This is mainly driven or benefited by the contribution from JetCost. JetCost contributed with 3.2 million euros of EBITDA, while the OTA business contributed with the remaining 9 million euros. Now I pass the word to Francesco, who will give you a short update on a series of actions that we are taking now in place in order to increase of our competitivity in the business. Francesco?
So let's go to page 11. So let's start with marketing actions. So we in the last months we have been experiencing very high pressures on volumes and profitability, especially in June and July in our flight business. Since August, we have adapted our marketing approach especially in the traditional online channel that are contributing more in terms of customer acquisition, so meta search and search engine marketing, and we are starting to see some recovery trends in profitability of this channel in August and even more in September. What we are observing in these months is that in any case such channel that we have been always traditionally used as a main channel for acquisition are getting less effective. Meta search, as we said and we're commenting, are becoming more and more tough in terms of competition and price pressure, and even the search engine marketing itself is becoming less interesting overall as an acquisition channel. So we are exploring and preparing to reopen new marketing channels in order to rebalance our marketing mix, especially leveraging more on offline advertising, mainly in our core countries where we do have a higher brand awareness, and we can so enhance this, such a brand awareness, so Spain, Italy, and France. In page 12, we're talking about actions in order to recover profitability and increasing margin per user. I would say better to rebalance in margin per user. As we said, we have observed a reduction of margin per user, especially in the markup fees to the end user. So for us, it's becoming more and more important to rebalance such revenues, increasing penetration of new services, like ancillary services, in order to compensate such a reduction in revenues per booking. On top of this, we have invested in some automation and in order to regain operational efficiency and to reduce some manual cost. We will work in order to optimize the credit card acquiring cost that Gaspar was mentioning before, because this is a part very that is becoming more and more important, especially going outside our core countries in non-euro countries. So there is an opportunity to optimize such cost. But the most important thing is that we are working heavily and we are investing in terms of technology in order to improve the customer experience on our site in order to improve the conversion. And this is particularly true, and we go to page 13, for the mobile channel. It is somehow a challenge, but also we see as a great opportunity for us. Mobile clearly is experiencing a boost in terms of traffic, in terms of volumes. We have increased 150% of the number of bookings of sales generated through mobile devices. So it is every day more important. It's pretty clear that for everybody in the industry, but I would say for every merchant in the e-commerce, the main challenge of the mobile devices and the mobile channel is that the conversion is structurally lower than the one we are used to with the desktop channel. But this is not so a competitive disadvantage. It is a structural situation where we are working in order to overcome this and to really catch this opportunity. So we are completely redesign our booking flow in order to be mobile responsive and in order to increase the conversion. We are already testing such new booking flow. and we will be this new booking flow will be rolled out completely by the end of the year. We will become to see some impacts in terms of conversion and volumes by the beginning of next year. On top of this, we do believe that there is a great opportunity on mobile in order to be exploited as a distribution channel for ancillary services, especially after having sold a booking. So we are also developing a dedicated platform to sell ancillaries through mobile. Page 14, another strategic action category is regarding internationalization. Internationalization, as we've seen before, has been the main driver for growth. We are growing, let's say, steadily in countries outside our core countries, and we want to keep such a growth rate pace. We are increasing our local competitiveness, integrating more and more local and low-cost airlines, especially in the Asia-Pacific area. We are also investing in order to industrialize and to reduce the time to market whenever we need to localize a new website with a new language. So it will be much easier and faster the coverage of new markets and new languages. Page 15, there is the actions that regarding vacation package sales. We do believe that here the vacation package business is one of the greatest opportunity that of growth that we have, given the fact that is a huge market in Europe, around 55 billion euro, as it is underpenetrated with online sales. So we are investing a lot in this area. We have extended successfully to Spain our business model that integrates the online approach with the offline distribution, mainly through telephone, so with call centers or with the travel advisors. That helps our customers in closing the sales, and for vacation packages, it's much more complex than buying a simple flight. On top of that, we are working, we are investing in technology also in this area, both in the back end and in the front end. We will release in the second quarter of next year a new front-end for vacation packages and hotels, and we are continuously developing our back-end in order to, let's say, optimize our sourcing of products and to, let's say, having available all the hotels and additional services needed to package a vacation on our site. Vacation packages are the area where we are also concentrating more our M&A activities in this moment. We have many targets in the pipeline, and most of them are concentrating in the area of vacation packages outside our core countries. Page 16 is the part dedicated to jet cost. As we have seen, the metasearch business is a successful business, and we want to leverage such an opportunity exploiting jet cost, that is our metasearch that we acquired at the end of last year. Jet cost has extended its services to new countries in the last period, from Singapore, India, and so on. We are releasing it's just under approval, so it will be in the next days a new release of the iOS application, and we're working on a completely new let's say mobile site, that is the home page is already done, and but we will be released together with the overall new responsive version of the site. We will launch the beta service in the new market, and we are ready to start with a much more aggressive marketing strategy. And we are also working in order to offer, the possibility to the JetCost user to finalize a booking under the JetCost brand, so remaining on the same JetCost site, by using our BravoFly Rumbo OTA services as a fulfiller. So with a white label approach, we do believe that there is a possibility to increase the conversion, especially on mobile, and we are somehow working on the convergence of the two models between metasearch and OTA business. I would give back the word to Gaspar to give some more details on the financial side. Page 18.
Thank you, Francesco. On page 18, I will focus on the net income. You will probably notice a relatively low net income in the first quarter, in the first half of 2014. Such a value has been heavily impacted by the IPO cost we had in the first half of the year, which amounted to approximately 4 million euros. Furthermore, the income tax rate was particularly high. You will have noticed that we had an implied tax rate of about 30%, which is above our historical average. Such a high rate was driven by the one-off event of the IPO. We had most of the IPO cost at the level of the Netherlands, and because of our tax architecture, we were not able to compensate those costs with income. This is a one-off, and from the second half of this year, we will substantially go back to our standard rates of approximately 20% on the income. We can now go to the following slide, slide 19, the balance sheet. You can see the balance sheet is split into two parts, the operational part above on the top and the financial part on the low part. On the operational part, values are substantially aligned to the values as of the 31st of December 2013. The main difference is in the working capital. There has been a clear increase in working capital since the 31st of December to the 30th of June. As you know, our balance sheet is the seasonality mainly impacts our balance sheet. It has got an impact also in the P&L, but it mainly impacts working capital. The working capital in December is probably at the lowest moment on the year in absolute terms, and in June takes advantage of the increase of the seasonality in the sale of vacation products that clearly in the summer is significantly higher. If you compare the working capital on the 30th of June 2014 with the 30th of June 2013, there is still a growth of 2 million euros. This is relatively small, this growth, but it has been impacted by the one-off change in the payment terms of the Spanish IATA. So basically, we would have increased our working capital furthermore. If you look at the financial part of the balance sheet, so equity and net financial position, there is the impact of the IPO that you can see in both items. Equity increased from 76 million to 163 million, and net financial position increased from 4.5 million to 105 million. If you consider the net proceeds of the IPO, the net proceeds of the IPO have been around 82 million, and the remaining part of the increase in the net financial position has been driven by the operational cash flows. On page 20, you can see further detail on the cash flows, and you can see that the free cash flow has achieved 17 million euros from 19 million euros last year. The decrease is substantially driven by the impact of the IPO cost. Otherwise, we would have had an increase of approximately 21 million euros. You can see on our CAPEX, substantially stable CAPEX, a small increase from 3.2 to 3.4 million euros. If we go now to page 21, it's a reminder on our share buyback program that we announced on the latest call of the 28th of July. During August, we pre-approved the plan with the Swiss takeover panel, and now from tomorrow we will be ready to buy shares in the market. The purchase shares will be used to cover the potential exercise of the old stock option plan that was awarded in the previous years, and to finance acquisitions. We are seeing that in acquisitions in which the management of the target company is involved in the capital, we believe it creates a lot of value to use also shares as terms of exchange. And the maximum amount that we are going to buy at the moment is 10 million euros. This has been approved by the board of directors. Should that amount need to be increased in the future, it will need to be approved separately by the board of directors. The buyback will start from tomorrow and will expire not later than April 2016.
Coming to the buyback, we are, not here to, nor to judge if we are under or overvalue. So we do this net nor to do, short-term marketing for the share price. So we try to do what we think is correct and is the best and long-term value for our shareholders. It means that we need, as Gaspar said, some stock. And so we think now is a good moment to buy our share. We don't have at the moment any further stock option plan as the price volatility of the stock is too high at the moment. And we don't think is we will do, as we said in the prospectus. But for the moment, we are not even discussing about that in the board. So the stock we need is for all the, stock option plan. Personally, myself also, I believe a lot in the long-term value of this company, and so I gave mandate to my broker to buy with my family about 50,000 new shares for the moment. And as a chairman, I was noticed by some other board members that they also will buy. This is not, an indication of, as I said, if the company is under overvalued. We believe in the company, so we think it's a good moment to buy. If we go to page 22 to give our, final remarks, so we say that our strategy is prioritizing our growth and not the short term for profitability. We think we are in the best position to, to leverage of our customer base, our knowledge and know-how to even stronger our position of leading player in the travel, especially in South Europe. Travel is a very large business where online travel is still under-penetrated in this market. And so the key strategy of our company is to maintain the strength of our brands, the number of our customers, and be in place for the future to benefit of this big shift versus travel online. And we know that this is our, key task. We also like very much profitability, and whenever it's possible, we like to increase that. But if we have to choose, we always prefer to look for the growth. If you look at the recent trends after the closure of the first semester, we see in the last 2 months, August and September, a improvement of our KPI thanks to our better, more efficient marketing effectiveness of our marketing expenditures. We are continuing doing substantial investment in technology and in key people, as Francesco said, and for this we expect to have return starting in the first quarter of next year. We have a very strong financial position that we say is very unique, fortunately, in our sector. So we are very well placed at the moment to be one of the main companies to do acquisition in a European travel environment. We have looked at many opportunities in these last 3 months. We have at the moment three very, advanced negotiations, but we are also very selective. So we are not doing acquisition, because we have the money, but we are doing acquisition only when we strongly believe that this company can give us an help to pursue our long-term strategy. Given that, we say that there is still some uncertainty in the market because there was a big change in the competitive environment, but we can confirm the guidance that we gave 1 month ago at the end of July. So we are very confident to grow to maintain the growth of our volumes as it was in the first semester, so to go over 1.3 billion of total gross travel value. We also are confident about the revenue and the EBITDA to maintain the target we released in the last review. So we think and we hope that we can say even benefit of the turbulence of the market of this last year, and we think we will be for next year leading place to even reinforce our competitive position. Now we have finished with our presentation, and I give the word for some questions.
The first question is from Catriona O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. I've just got two questions, if I may. The first one relates to competition. So since you last spoke to us, has there been any change at all in the competitive environment? You said at the time that you thought that the pressure might abate a little bit as we came out of the peak summer trading period. Have you seen that coming through in September, or is it still a little early for that? And have you seen any other smaller competitors leave the space similar to go to Airfast tickets? And my second question relates to marketing. So marketing as a percentage of sales went up 1.2%. How do we think about that growth in marketing as a percentage of sales moving forward? You said that the efficiency of marketing has increased, but the spend has increased. And you've also said that you're increasing your marketing investment in new countries. Do you expect that to kind of increase at that kind of level in an ongoing fashion? Or how do I think about that growth rate? Thanks.
Okay, I will answer. Competition. The market is still tough, so we didn't see major changes in the competitive dynamics. We have been adapted to this environment, so we somehow fine-tuned our marketing approach, so getting some initial recovery in terms of profitability in August and September. Regarding marketing, if such a competition will be maintained, clearly we will need to maintain such a level of marketing expenditure, because again we are prioritizing growth in volumes. So in order to support the volumes, we will for sure maintain this kind of marketing expenditure. Clearly, we are also thinking about, as we said before, to invest in offline advertising mainly in our core countries, and this is something that could lead to an increase, at least in the short term, of the marketing expenditure, because this kind of channel would give benefit not immediately, but more with a delay, let's say, in terms of brand awareness, brand building, and at the end, returns on sales.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Matthias Egger from Mirabeau. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question to the recovery of the of the KPIs in August and September. Actually, how do you measure this KPI, and what kind of KPI is this? Is that kind of revenue per booking or revenue per passenger? Could you highlight this? And you said you are not back to the level you had before. So how much of your way back to the level you had before are you on this KPI in August and September?
Hi, it's Gaspare speaking.
Hi, Gaspare.
I will answer the first piece of your question. Regarding KPIs, we define our KPIs as volumes in number of bookings. Revenues measure as the pricing, so the commissions paid by clients, insurance revenues, GDS revenues, and commissions paid by airlines. And the last piece was the CPA, so it's the cost per marketing per booking. And then there is the margin, which is the difference between those revenues and those costs. These are direct costs, and they are not subject to interpretation. They come straight from our models, so they are very easy, and there is not impacted by one-off or farm pieces that could be impacting one month stronger than others. So it gives you a very much the feeling on how the market is how we are doing in the market. So on that basis, what we saw was that the month of August and September, we saw significant or good growth in terms of volumes and in terms of bookings. We saw that our profitability, so the revenue in the measure in the way I told you and the cost per marketing in the measure in the way I told you, so we saw that there was a clear improvement in the margin, in the profitability in the months of August and September compared to the figures of June and July in particular.
So going back to the second part of your question, so the level of such KPIs versus the historical ones. For sure, the revenues per booking, as you know, as we've said in the past, are very much affected by many mixed effects. So depending by the weight of new countries, where it's lower, the weight of specific channel like meta search, where the revenues per booking is lower. So taking in account such a mixed effect, this is the reason why we are still not at the same historical trend, because this is a change in the mix. Then we could say that in general, in the revenues per booking, there is a decrease of the kind of the source of revenues coming directly from the end user, and this is the reason why we are working in order to rebalance such revenues, let's say rebalancing and substituting and compensating such a revenue decrease with increase of ancillary services. So this, let's say, is the situation on the revenue side. So mixed effects and a decrease of the markup, the agency fees per booking that we are trying to compensate. On the other side, if you're looking at profit per users, we have also to say that apart from marketing, in the next year we are working in order to reduce also the operating cost per booking that will decrease in 2015, starting from the, for example, the acquiring cost that is one important part of the other operating cost that was explained before by Gaspar, that we are working in order to optimize and reduce the incidence on revenue. So that will help in order to recover profitability.
The next question is from Ms. Andrea Ferra from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, good afternoon. Regarding your comments on the improving KPIs and profitability, your guidance doesn't seem to imply any improvement at all, given that your H1 EBITDA, if you exclude jet cost, I estimate is probably down around 13%. And at the midpoint, it implies that H2 will be down 30%. You're also talking a lot about investing heavily to drive revenue in the non-core regions, the non-core products. What do you see in terms of EBITDA trends for FY15, if you can, or just for the first half at least? Should we expect a continuation of these declines? Thanks.
Hi, Andrea. It's Gaspar speaking. Regarding our expectations for the year end, we are not saying that we have achieved the level of profitability that we want to, that we believe can be sustained in our market. So there will be, we believe that the guidance we said is consistent with what we are seeing today. We are expecting small increase in this profitability calculated, as I said before, for the next few months, but in a much smaller level than the increase that we already recorded in the last 2 months, so in August and September. In terms of projections of 2015, I think it is worth to wait for the new budget that will be approved by the end of this year, and I think we will give better and more detailed guidance on where we should be.
And Can I ask you then on a separate question? You haven't mentioned so far the changes at Ryanair as driving any impact to your business model. They made some sort of they made some changes to the website by which I believe it could be easier now for competitors to also get the prices. And it's also friendlier to other users. Do you think that the changes on the Ryanair website could have had an impact on your business? Thanks.
Well, so far we didn't observe any major changes in the mix that could make us think that this has been impactful for our business. Clearly, it's easier for our competitors to access the inventory of Ryanair. That is true. It's also easier for the end user to book on the Ryanair site. But this has always been, at least the second point, has always been true in the past. And given the fact that we have a price premium service towards our customers, I mean, this is embedded, let's say, in our business model.
Yeah, thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Paul Cizak from Brigade Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. First of all, thank you very much for taking the time. I also have a question about the guidance that you gave and the color on what's happening in the market. My question is, could you give us a sense for in how far the improvements that you see are purely your actions? And in how far there actually changes in the market. So if you would put a percentage on it, is it 95% just what you have changed that has led to the better profit, or is it like 50%? It's great to get a bit of a quantification of that. And secondly, would you also be able to give some color on if there's certain geographies in which you see that and certain other geographies in which you don't see that?
Okay, regarding the improvement of the KPIs, it's difficult. It's hard to say how much is let's say driven by our measures or by the market condition. I would say that mostly is given by our adapting our marketing policies and the pricing strategy to the different channels. But I mean, it's clear, for sure it's a combination of the two. But I would say mostly, given the fact that we are observing such improvement after we have implemented such changes. And in terms of geography, where we do see the major value, for sure France. In France, we are performing much better than before. We are still suffering somehow in Italy, where the macroeconomic conditions, by the way, do not help in this moment. And in Spain, where our migration of platform that we have implemented at the beginning of the year has affected for sure our volumes as more than expected, and we are still working in order to recover. So I would say for sure positive, much, let's say, more positive than the average in France, still not as good as we would like in Italy and Spain, and for sure we are benefiting even more in the non-core countries.
And sorry, maybe I didn't understand it correctly. Could you also relate that to the improvements that you have seen from your marketing actions and to our competitive actions? So is it?
If I understood correctly, you were asking how much was let's say the improvement of our KPIs driven by a general improvement of the market condition, or if it were driven by our marketing actions. Did I got it correctly?
Exactly. My previous question was what part of the improvement was driven by the market and which part was driven by you for improved marketing. And my question is there any markets specifically in which you've seen improvements, more improvements or less improvements related to that competitive dynamics?
I mean, and then you ask more detail and more color by country, by geography. So, as I said, I see that mainly was driven by our marketing reshaping and fine-tuning. And, for example, in France is one of the countries we've been experiencing more benefit of this kind of change.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Jahanzeb Azhan from Blue Bay Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for hosting the call. A couple of questions from me. First off, you mentioned that you're seeing a decrease of revenue coming from the end user and you're trying to compensate that with ancillary services. Can you just help me understand how and why you believe you're able to generate sustainable booking fees from customers when I think some of your competitors, perhaps even larger competitors, or rather large competitors, are offering no booking fees, or for example, if I try to book on the website, there'll be a charge for processing a debit card on your website. So how do you try and what justifies that that pricing premium that you're able to charge effectively over some of the competition?
Well, I mean, let's say first of all that we are not premium versus. I didn't mean that we are premium versus competitors. In Europe, the OTAs are charging a booking fee versus the direct purchase in the airline side. So this is something that is pretty normal in Europe for European OTAs. Clearly, it's not the case of US, where historically there's been, almost zero booking fee strategy. But as we know, the competitive landscape in Europe and also the structure of the industry, given a high fragmentation of airlines, is completely different from the States. So far, we are not in such a scenario with zero booking fee, and also our competitors are applying a booking fee. What I'm saying is that we are observing and experiencing a reduction in such average booking fee that we can apply, and this is, by the way, with all being compliant with all the regulatory requirements that have been introduced country by country. So there is a reduction that is being mainly driven by the fact that the metasearch are contribution in terms of volumes is growing, and in metasearch such a competition is higher, and the average pricing is clearly lower than other channels. So it's a mixed effect given to a higher contribution of a channel that presents lower revenues per user in terms of booking fee, agency fee or booking fee.
On that, I will add two examples. One about metasearch, that main source of revenue for metasearch is OTA. So it means that if the metasearch will send, directly all the customers to the airlines, they will not get any fee. And so, therefore, at the end, that's the reason why the metasearch at the end work with the OTA. And that is the reason why in Europe this model works. The second example is what has happened to Expedia in the last years. Expedia, for at least in Italy, 4 or 5 years, they didn't have any booking fee. And nevertheless, us and eDreams, we increased our market share versus Expedia because we had probably a better booking engine for the flights. So it's not clear, at least at the moment in Europe, that having a booking fee that is, very high, but a reasonable booking fee is a disadvantage versus the final customer.
Can you just let me know, so does Expedia charge booking fees today, or did they change their practice to come in line with yourselves?
I mean, booking fee, as you know, is very complex because it's changed by country, by product, by time, and sometimes also time of the day. So as far as we know, during our test, Expedia, they, at least in Southern Europe, they reintroduced booking fee after they didn't have by year, 4 years. Probably they have a different policy by country. Somewhere they have booking fee, somewhere they don't. But it's not even very easy to compare booking fee because all the OTA are very sophisticated in the booking fee. So there is not a clear flat booking fee by flights. So also to see the competitive environment is not something straightforward.
Got it. Okay. And then looking forward, do you expect that you will be able to see margins recover, or and you know, will that be through some combination of being able to raise booking fees again, or is it more of a case of margins stabilizing, maybe somewhat higher than where they are today, but stabilizing and really, you know, growing faster? Sorry, excuse me, and growing and returning to a pace of growth that you were at previously?
Well, we do expect in general a reduction of the revenues per user, but we do believe that there is room for keeping a margin per user, working also on the cost side. So the dynamic of such a trend is not clear how fast it will be, but there are years that we've been talking about reduction of booking fees. This was not the case in the last years. There's been a sudden increase in the last month due to a tougher competition. But frankly speaking, it's difficult to say right now what will happen in the next month. For sure, there will be a different mix of revenues sources.
Sorry, maybe if I could rephrase that. I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you see competition maybe, you know, being intense because people are pricing way too aggressively, and you expect competitors to have to withdraw from the market, at which point you can see margins return to previous levels, or do you expect that we are just in a more competitive market going forward?
Well, I mean, again, it's hard to say because the competition is still tough right now. It seems for us we have some doubts that it is sustainable for many players and for the meta search as well, because as Fabio was saying before, 80% of the meta search revenues are historically coming from OTAs. So it's true that some of the meta searches right now are privileging a growth of volumes rather than monetizing the traffic, and so they are not looking so much at profitability. But we have some doubt that this is a sustainable strategy in the medium term. So again, we have these two factors. So the level of the pricing competition from smaller competitors and also the strategy of the meta search in pushing down such margins for OTAs seems to us both events very hard. We have doubts they can be sustainable.
What I will add that what we can see as a trend that we had in the last years is that we succeeded in increasing that revenue that are not related to booking fee. So ancillary revenues or revenue related to other products to the same customer. And this is clearly our strategy. So we to continue to build a very strong brand. We have both in Italy and Spain, and probably in France we just got in the flights, the best known brand for to book flights. And leveraging on this position, we are succeeding year by year to sell more of other products, insurance, car rental, hotels through vacation package to the same customer, and so increase at the end the revenue per final customer. And this is also the strategy for the future.
Great, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a last minute registration from Mr. Uwe Rezek from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for hosting the call. I just wondered, you mentioned the significant investments that you're making in mobile and new marketing channels. Can you explain a little bit more what sort of investments are you making, how you were breaking down that investment, and if you can give us a split between how much you're going to expand in operating costs versus how much you intend to capitalize that?
Let's talk about technology from one side and then on marketing on the other. On technology, we are not changing our investment policy, so it's I would say the same level that it's always been. What I was saying is that we are focusing our development capacity of 150 engineers are focused in developing a new booking process, a new booking flow that will facilitate purchase and sale of ancillary services through mobile devices on one side, and we are working on the vacation platform redesign front end and improvement of back end on the other side. So it's a matter of prioritizing the normal level of investment that we have, and then Gaspar will elaborate on these, which are our policy. Regarding the marketing, these are just operating costs, so these are, as usual, not considered OPEX at all, in any case.
Yes, it's Gaspar speaking. Yes, we confirm that we do not capitalize any marketing cost at all. And regarding the investments in IT, the internal development, that is substantially the main piece of our investments, of our CAPEX, and you can see that there are increases in the period, and we expect increases to continue in the future, but we do not expect major changes and major increases in our capitalization.
Yes, we are continuing, just to be more concrete, we are continuously hiring new engineers in order to increase our development capacity.
Great, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no questions at this time.
Thank you very much, and I thank you for all the attending, and we will have next call in 6 months.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.